Hello, I'm Daniel. This is my podcast, Sharpening the Mind. I am a meditation teacher and also a labor activist in Kansas City, Missouri. I teach classes in meditation and Buddhism at the Rime Buddhist Center, as well as a few other places. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Hello. Today, the topic of my Dharma talk is the Buddha's teachings on doubt and free inquiry. And I'm going to reference the Kalama Sutta, and we're going to talk about that some. But first, I want to talk about myself. When I came to Buddhism, I was an atheist. And I was very resistant to what I would call the more religious aspects of the path. And I've softened a great deal. I'm much less so now. But at the time that I first started studying Buddhism, I really did not like teachings like, you know, Nagas and celestial bodhisattvas and those types of things, because I thought, well, you know, I'm not sure, you know, and maybe I'm still not sure, but I'm not resistant to those kinds of teachings now. But I want to talk to you about this text that is a Buddhist text, the Kalama Sutta, because it was a teaching that really felt good for me to learn about as I was first studying Buddhism. It felt good to me that there was a teaching from the Buddha about how we should not believe things just because we're told. Rather, we should investigate for ourselves. I really like that, and I think that's what makes Buddhism unique among world religions, at least among the really old ones, is that doubt is a virtue. Doubt is a virtue, at least to a certain extent, doubt is a virtue, and free inquiry is a virtue. Don't believe things that fly in the face of common sense. That's the message. That's an amazing message. So the spirit of this sutta is a teaching that is supposed to help us with dogmatism, sort of just thinking my way is the best way, closed minds. You know, closed minds, thinking my way is the best way. And when we're seeking the truth, which is what we're doing, that kind of closed off view might not always serve us, right? Might not always serve us. We want to be more open. So this group of people, the Kalamas, they lived in a place called Kesaputta in the Buddha's time. And in this place, this town, it was a town, in this town, spiritual teachers would come through a lot. And they would say, you know, this is my teaching. This is the real teaching. What you've heard from the other spiritual teachers? No, it's not that. This is it. And so this was happening in the Buddha's time. And when the Buddha came to these people and he gave his teaching, These people, the Kalamas, they were like, well, what makes your teaching better than other people's teachings? Mr. Buddha, everyone that comes through here says they have the true Dharma, the real teachings. What is different about you? How do we know which of these teachers that came through here spoke the truth and which ones were dishonest, which ones just made stuff up, which ones lied to us? And the Buddha said this. This is from the Kalama Sutta, and I quote, "It is proper for you, Kalamas, to doubt, to be uncertain. Uncertainty has arisen in you about what is doubtful. Come, Kalamas, do not go upon what has been acquired by repeated hearing, nor upon tradition, nor upon rumor, nor upon what is in a scripture, nor upon surmise, nor upon axiom, nor upon specious reasoning, nor upon a bias towards a notion that has been pondered over, nor upon another's seeming ability, nor upon the consideration that this monk is our teacher. Kalamas, when you yourselves know these things are bad, these things are blamable, these things are censured by the wise, undertaken and observed. These things lead to harm and will. Abandon them." End quote. So he's saying, like, You know when a teaching doesn't line up with your common sense. You know that if a teacher's coming and telling you to sacrifice animals or something, you know that doesn't adhere to common sense. Right? Because that's harm. And not causing harm is fundamental. So after that, the Buddha asked them a series of questions. He asked them if greed is good or bad. He asked them if hatred is good or bad. He asked them if delusion is good or bad. And I think these are the things, some of these are like things we learned in kindergarten, you know. We know, even before that, even. We know. If we're paying attention to our lives, then we know that greed gets in our way. If we're paying attention to our lives, we know that hatred gets in our way. And if we're paying attention to our lives, we know that delusion gets in our way. So the Buddha said, well, you know these things are bad already. We know already the absence of greed is better for us. We know already the absence of hate is better for us, and the absence of delusion is better for us. So the Buddha was saying, well, this is what I'm teaching. I'm teaching that clear seeing and compassion and wisdom are the ways to live this life. And these teachings, just reflect on them and see for yourself. Just do this meditation practice and see for yourself if it works. Just cultivate ethics in your life and see for yourself. You know, we cause ourselves problems when we behave unethically. We do. We create disharmony in our world when we steal and commit sexual misconduct and hurt other people. We know that we create disharmony in our lives. And if we think we don't, you know, I can come up with reasons why greed helps me, but I know deep down that I'm making excuses. Right? And maybe you hear people say that kind of thing once in a while, that greed motivates and inspires, or that there's righteous hatred that can help you. I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not to say that we should feel bad when these feelings manifest, because they do. Right? And we shouldn't feel bad when we don't understand, when we're held in delusion. But these are things for us to overcome. And that's what the Buddha taught us, that these are things for us to overcome. So, in speaking of the virtues we're trying to cultivate, of wisdom, compassion, ethics, the Buddha said, and also things like patience and generosity, you know, the six perfections, patience, generosity, virtue, equanimity, diligence. These kinds of virtues are what we're really trying to cultivate. And the Buddha said, and I quote, "When you yourselves know these things are good, these things are not blamable, these things are praised by the wise, undertaken and observed, these things lead to benefit and happiness, enter on and abide in them." End quote. I think we know. I think the truth is that we know. We know that we're doing something wrong if we commit adultery. We know we're doing something wrong if we steal. We know we're doing something wrong if we hold on to anger. You know what the Buddha said? He said anger can be like a hot coal that you pick up to throw at someone. You're going to get burned. It may hurt the other person, but you're going to get burned. We know the things that don't serve us. We know it doesn't serve us to give in to temptation all the time. And we want to, though. So a lot of the time we do. And that's not to say we should judge ourselves, but it is to say that we can reflect on these teachings and we already know. We already know. So while some Buddhist teachings may feel remote or even pointless, like making offerings to statues, for example, like those things can really feel meaningless to us, but also we can try them and see for ourselves. We can try them. I used to really be resistant to chanting, and I've sort of come around on that. So when I chant at home, I'm sort of setting an intention. I'm sort of setting the tone for my meditation practice. It's the precursor that I do at the beginning, and then I do dedicate the merit at the end. But it sort of puts my meditation practice in a container, and it reminds me that what I'm doing is important, and even maybe sacred, but definitely important. It's not just, I'm not meditating to relax. I'm not just doing this as an ordinary thing. No, this is very important, this thing I'm doing. And the chanting, the more religious things I put around it, they remind me. And then when I'm at the temple and we're chanting together, well, that's a way of generating sort of community feeling. You know, it's a way of our voices come together and we're united. And that sort of strengthens the bonds of affection in our community, I think. And that, so in that way, chanting with other people, I get a lot out of. I don't get as much out of chanting by myself, but again, I do it. I do it as the container for that surrounds my meditation practice. And again, bowing is the same thing. And this, in the same way, it is really meaningful when I'm bowing in unison with others at the temple, but I am also bowing again as part of my daily practice just to remind myself this is important. This is important. And if I just sit down and I don't do those things, I kind of forget, or at least I can. There's a tendency that I could forget this is important if I'm not doing the chanting and the bowing. And the lighting of incense, which I do every day. So I think a great way to go forward in our seeking for the truth is to do these practices and see for ourselves. We don't do them because someone said they're good or because someone said they'll help us, but rather let's do them and see for ourselves. That's what the Buddha says. So thank you for taking the time to listen to this talk, and I hope it's been helpful. Have a good day. Thank you for listening and have a good day.